material. Certainly sets the time and the spirit of what we want to talk about today. There ought to be no time in your life that's any sweeter to you than the time you are spending with your God and prayer. Today, when you and I think about what's going on over in Afghanistan, from my understanding, 22 Christians are being beheaded today. Are we praying for what's going on in our world? Are we concerned of what's happening in all other parts of this world? Even our own country. Christianity is being attacked from all different concepts and the aspects of what we believe and the one in whom we have and do believe. And I really believe that if there's anything that's going to renew the church today, I've been talking about renewal, new creatures in Christ. Every day we're being renewed, sanctification, set apart by God to be made holy, a people unto himself, zealous for good works, really enthused, really vibrating to do the will of God and all the aspects of that. I am firmly convinced that the reason the kingdom of God, the church, is becoming anemic today is we're not spending enough time on our knees. Okay? Little Jimmy was praying Christmas time. As he was praying along, the mom was really impressed with little Jimmy's prayer. As he got to the end, he got a little louder and a little louder and a little louder. And he finally just asked, God, please give me a bike for Christmas. And his mother said, Jimmy, you don't have to yell. God can hear. He's not deaf. I know that, but Grandma is. The aspects of all of that, again, maybe it's just the fact that what we need today is what an old saint's prayer said many times and many years ago is, Lord, keep me alive while I am living. Keep me alive while I am living. Isn't that interesting? Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, have it more abundantly. But let's just suggest this to you today and to me. Prayer must mean everything to you if it's going to mean anything to God. You write that down. Prayer must mean everything to you if it's going to mean anything to God. One cannot expect to know the presence of God personally in their individual life if they're just too busy to pray. And we're busy. How would you like God to be too busy to hear you? To have so much to do on his plate that he doesn't have time for you. How would you like that? And how many of us, we're just too busy. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read his book. I don't have time. So we're talking about renewal that comes through prayer. You see, renewal means to rejuvenate, regenerate, to bring back to one's original condition of freshness and vigor, to restore one's enthusiasm. You know, the Greek word enthusiasm comes from in God, in theos, is enthusiasm. The very fact that we have a relationship with God ought to be stimulating enthusiasm as we sing, as we pray, as we meet around the Lord's table, and everything we do. Prayer needs to not be long, but it needs to be strong in faith, believing. We've got to have the faith that God hears our prayers and that God answers. Hebrews 11:6, familiar passage, says that without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. That's the Hebrews 11:6. Now think about it. When I go to God in prayer, am I not calling upon God? And when I go to God in prayer, am I not seeking him? Seeking his will, seeking his power, thinking the aspect? What other time do we come to God when we're more apt to be calling upon him and seeking him than in the time of prayer? But we need to pray in faith, believing that God not only hears our prayers, but he's going to answer it. He's going to answer it. So what is in the aspects of that? I ask myself this question. If I pray to God and ask God for certain elements of his, because I know it's only if God moves, I can't do it. I'm out only God has control over, I don't know, 99% except for my own will, and that will is to seek God's will. But the point is, do I not lie to God after I have prayed for Him to move in my life or take care of a situation or to respond and whatever, and then I don't really go on relying on Him? I ask Him, I pray, but I don't really rely. I still have all the aspects. Remember what it says? Cast all your cares, all your anxiety upon Him, for He cares for you. The aspects of that, okay? So Jesus told us in Matthew 19:26. Matthew 19:26, Jesus says, with God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. How many of us really believe that? Well, how many in the back of our minds, we still have a little doubt, a little question whether or not? Well, how many of us put limits on God and what He can do and what He won't do and what He can't do because of our own insecurity or our own maybe lack of feeling that we're worthy? Remember what was read for you this morning? John, Romans chapter 5 says, while we were all yet enemies, unreconciled to God, while we were yet sinners, God commended His love toward us. And then it says, much more. Have you ever noticed Romans 5? Much more, much more, much more. Now that we have been reconciled and we are His children, much more then does God respond to us. Much more. Much more. Okay? So renewal, as far as I can tell, is the message of the New Testament. Renewal is the message of the New Testament. When you and I look at it, renewal is involved in every aspect of our Christian walk and our relationship with God. Repent. Well, what is repentance? It's a renewal of our will. It's a renewal and awakening of our will that rather than walking away from God and serving the flesh and doing what is against God, my will turns. And I begin to seek Him and I be turned around in my life. That's an act of my will. It's a renewing of my direction. It's a renewing of my purpose. It's a renewal of whom I am going to live for and glorify in my life rather than myself. It renews every aspect. Repentance. Repent or perish, Jesus said. Right? Yes. What is baptism? Baptism renews our conscience. 1 Peter 3:21 says it is an appeal to God for a clear, clean conscience before Him. It's an act of obedience. It's where God takes us out of the world of darkness, transfers us then into a kingdom of His dear Son, that we now can walk in light, not in darkness anymore. Isn't that a renewal? A renewal that we are now not living in a lost state, we are now living in a saved state. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Our relationship with God has been renewed because we're baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, the Holy Spirit is a gift from God that comes to us in our birth, new birth. And what does that do? What does the Holy Spirit do? It renews the inner man. It takes the person who was dead in sin, raises them to a new life in Christ, makes them new creatures in Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not the water. It's where God promises to do His unbelievable operation, where the old man is crucified, the body of sin is destroyed, and we are risen to a new life in Christ. Isn't that a renewal? Isn't it? Yeah, well, how about the Lord's Supper? Every Lord's Day, we come together. For what purpose? To have our memory renewed. How many of us need that? How many have to have their minds renewed on a weekly basis that you aren't going to be saved by your good works? We're saved only by the blood of the covenant, Jesus, the blood given for the remission of our sins. How many of us need to remember that? How many? It's a point of a person doing a self-examination, measuring themselves, not by one another, but measuring themselves by the measure rod, Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. And I believe if we all are honest with ourselves, I believe we have to remember we still got some growing to do. right? So think about it, okay? When you think about all of that and the aspects of all of those things are essential, aren't they? But all of those meet a renewal and cannot ever meet the renewal that is obtained through prayer. Repentance is a one-time periodical turning of one's life, right? Baptism is a one-time act of obedience to a command of God, right? The Holy Spirit is a one-time indwelling gift that God gives us at a new birth, right? That brings freshness and new life to our lives. Think about it. All of those things are one periodical aspect, such as meeting around the Lord's table on the first day of the week. It's periodical. Prayer is open to you and me 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And it can be going on in every aspect. And Paul makes it clear, we're to pray without ceasing. Everything depends on God's people praying. And if the church is going to be renewed, it's going to depend upon every one of you and me spending time being renewed in the time frame of our communication with Almighty God. Not going to happen any other way. It isn't going to happen any other way. God's mean of retaining our regeneration, keeping us alive in Christ. God's mean of maintaining our sanctification, our enthusiasm, our zeal, our freshness, is that we have been spending and spend time and time, hours and hours of our life in a relationship we're building with God. Okay? Who better then to look at as an example than Jesus Christ our Lord? Have you ever looked at his life and seen how many times he prayed? Not concerned about collective prayer. I'm not concerned about us getting together as a group. But I'm concerned about you individually getting your renewal with God in your personal time that you spend with God. And I want you to know and see Jesus is your example. In the first point of his ministry, he was about ready to pick 12 men to become his apostles, his disciples. You know what the Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 12? He spent all night praying before he selected those 12 men. He went to the Father asking for wisdom and direction who he is to select to become the apostles that God was going to build the kingdom upon. Jesus spent all night praying. When's the last time you spent all night praying? When's the last time? I've laid on my bed, Marilyn sleeping away, and I've laid there hours praying to God. Not only for her, but for me, for my children. I mean, for crying out loud, how do you make important decisions? How do you make important decisions? If you're going to make an important decision, what and how much time should you have been praying to God to help you have the wisdom to make the right decision? How many of you made wrong decisions you wish to God you'd never made? And then ask yourself the question, how much wisdom? Because the Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask of God and he'll give it to you. But if and when a man asks, don't let him doubt. For he who doubts, don't let him think he's going to receive anything from God. Because a person who doubts is like a ship out in the middle of the sea, beaten about by the waves. Double-minded people are all unstable in the ways. If I'm going to go to God, and he's going to be pleased with my prayer, I got to believe that not only does he exist, but I'm going to put my faith and confidence. He's going to hear it, and he's going to answer it. And I'm going to completely let it go at that, and I'm going to rely on him. It's now in, if you will, it's now in his hands. You understand what I just said? I put it in his hands, and I trust him to do what I know I cannot do. No other way. So Jesus spent all night. You've had your Calvaries. How'd you handle them? You've had your troubles. How did you handle them? How much time did you really go to God praying for him to intervene on your behalf and to make sure that you could stand up against Satan's attacks in your life, your Calvaries, whatever it is. What and where did you go when those particular moments came into your life? How much time did you actually spend with your God? Whenever the task or the need, whatever the moment, you'll find that Jesus prayed. He prayed. Luke 11:1, one of his disciples comes to him and has to have recognized there's something significant about the example he was seeing in his Lord, because he said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." So I'm here to tell you today, I'm showing you the examples of your Lord. I hope and pray that it will teach you how much essential it is for you to maintain your vigor, your enthusiasm, your love, and your commitment to God, as you need to be spending, I need to be spending, time before God, praying, 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 praying. For instance, you know that Jesus said after that, he said, "Ask and you shall, knock and it shall be." Remember? "Seek and you shall." That's exactly what he said in response to that question. Ask. Seek. Knock. That's what he said. So prayer is asking, it's seeking, and it's knocking. And what is God going to do? You're going to get what you asked for. You're going to find what you're seeking for. And the door is going to be opened. Isn't that what he meant? Isn't that what he meant? Yeah, he did. No question about it. So after in Luke 22, 39-46, I'm jumping from that point in Jesus' life to the end of his life. And you all know about Gethsemane. Anybody here not know what happened when he went to Gethsemane? He had just said to his disciples, "Wait here and pray that you not fall into temptation." Well, how many of us pray for God to keep us from, "Oh yeah, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me." We pray that for him to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Man, aren't we living in a world where temptation's all around us? Are we not living in a world of darkness where evil is all around us? He said to his disciple, "You go, you get on your knees, and you pray to God that you would not fall into temptation." Wow. And then he went away a stone throw. And you know what happens. The Bible says he was full of distress. The Bible says he began to sweat blood, like blood. The Bible says that he agonized. And he agonized at what and where he was going. He was distressed in every way. He was troubled in every way. Do we forget that Jesus was man? The incarnation? Do we forget he was flesh and blood? Do we forget that he was made in our likeness? Do we forget that? Or do we just think, well, that's... No. He agonized. He was in pain and suffering. He was afraid. He was troubled. He was distressed. And sweat drops came out like blood. He was agonizing over him and praying and begging God for this cup to be relieved from him. He was flesh and blood, people. He was tempted in every way, like you and me, and was without sin. So we have the beginning, spending all night. We have the end of his life agonizing in a garden. But this is the point. Not my will. Not my will, God. Father, yours be done. Amen? So we look at our Lord and we see all of this and we see the aspects of it. I mean, after all, let's go to the cross. Let's see him there, hand stretched out, pain. I'm telling you, suffering. God laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was crushed and he was afflicted. And he looked down on these people and he could simply say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Can you do that? Forgive us our debts as we forgive those, our debtors. Or forgive those who trespass against us. However you want to say it. Forgiveness. Can you do that? Maybe there's time you need to be praying and going to God and asking him to help you to forgive someone. That you've been carrying something on your heart and your mind that you should have let go of a long time ago. Because if you don't forgive, neither will you be forgiven. And yet on that cross, my example, Jesus, agonizing, in pain, suffering for the sins of the world, could look down on those people and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, that prayer has helped me through life more than you will ever know. For what people have done and what people have said and the lies that have been told, I can honestly say in my heart, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're saying. They don't know. They really don't. How about Lazarus? You remember Lazarus? You remember in Acts John 11, 41 and 43? That's before he went there. You know he knew he was going to raise him from the dead? You knew that he knew that God was going to use this as a time to glorify himself, God being glorified through this time? But yet here he has, and before he did it, he prayed. He prayed to his father, and he said, as it is, he thanked his father for hearing him. His concern was for those who would hear and see what was going to happen, that they would believe that God had sent Jesus into the world, that he was indeed the Son of God. He then cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. But what did he do? He prayed before he did it. Right? I'm suggesting to you, he took the Lord's Supper, took the cup, and he blessed it. He took the cup and the bread, he prayed, he blessed them, etc., didn't he? May I suggest to you that this table must have meant an awful lot to him when he instituted it, if he prayed about it. You hear what I'm saying? And for you and I to think that this table and become indifferent to it and what it means, then we don't hear his heart when he took the cup, blessed it, and said, this is the blood of the new covenant which is given for you for the remission of your sins. I pray to God that before you came this morning to meet around this table, you spent some time praying for God to help you to properly discern the Lord's body and his blood. You just didn't come here just to come here because it's a Christian thing to do. This should mean everything to you. This should be the most highlight of your week, that you can come around this table and know that Jesus promised he would be here and break bread with us again. Most promised time when you can come together with your sisters and brothers in Christ and you can become steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and prayer, and the breaking of bread. Isn't that what they did? This is it, people. And a lot of times when this whole element of what we do becomes nothing but a ritual, it will be deadening to every one of us. You need to sing in the Spirit. You need to worship in the Spirit. You need to be in the Spirit of God when you come here. And as you go and live every day of your life, you need to be in the Spirit of God. I'm going to close with this concept. I'm going to be speaking more about this next Lord's Day. Lord willing, he doesn't come. Let me remind you of that. John 17. I want you to turn there with me, okay, if you will. And I want you to understand something that I think is very unique. All right? Look at what it says here. I'll come back. Hey, you know that song? I know you do. Okay, so I went that way, I went that way. Left button. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. Now the right button? Okay. Now we gotta, how do I go back one more? Come on. Thank you. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. But the Spirit was given to us at our birth, right? We do not know how to pray as we should. Now, if God gave you and me the Holy Spirit so it would minister to us in our prayer time, you think God intended that our prayer time would become very significant to us? You think that it must have been very important to God that we are able to communicate with him and that we, it is open and that God's will and your will becomes in complete harmony together so that you and God are working together individually in your individual life? So he gave us the Spirit to intercede for us with groanings too deep for words. He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he intercedes for the saint according to the will of God. Well, if you're not praying very often, how much can he intercede for you? Are you limiting him? Are you limiting the ability of what the Holy Spirit is capable of doing in your individual life if you're not spending time on your knees to the Father in heaven, asking and seeking and desiring for God's will to be done in your life? I believe we are. I believe we are. I believe we're making a mockery of what God's whole concept of why He gave us His Spirit to dwell in us if we're not really spending time communicating with Him and seeking His will. The church is dying today, people. It's dying. And the only way it's going to be renewed is that every one of us as individual members of the body of Christ get back on our knees, spending time with God, seeking His will, and allowing the Holy Spirit to do what He is able to do. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, who are called according to His what? For His will, to His purpose, all right? In every aspect of it. Those who foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. Well, Jesus spent time after time in every decision. He spent time praying. He spent time praying. He spent time praying. And we're supposed to be conformed to the image of His Son. Then what should we be doing? We should be spending hours and time and praying because, brother, in our weaknesses, there's nothing we can do to confront a world that's under the power of the prince of the air. We need God to be winning the battle. The battle is the Lord's, not yours. And we need to be praying for God to be able to use us in that aspect. He predestined us. He called us. He called and justified, pronounced us not guilty. And therefore, He's glorifying us. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. Where are we more humbled than we go to God in prayer? All right? When we say these things, if God is for us, who is against us? He did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us. How will He not also freely give us what? Come on, people. We got a Father in heaven that wants to open the windows of heaven and bless His people. That's why God treated Israel the way He did. God wanted all the other pagan nations to see how God took care of Israel, how He blessed her, honored her, glorified Himself through her, anticipating that all the other pagan nations would want to have God as their father, as their gods. That's why He did it. You don't think He wants the same thing for His body of people today called the church, the family of God, His people? He wants to do the same today. He wants to be able to glorify Himself like He did through His Son, through His church, the body of Christ today. Would you do God a favor? Do it for God. And then ultimately, do it for yourself. Would you evaluate your prayer life? And will you really look at how much time and how earnest you are at seeking the will of God? This church, the body of Christ in the world today, will only come alive, will only maintain its zeal and enthusiasm and its vigor when it regenerates itself by spending time with God. Personally. Amen. Well, I'm going to look at this even more a little bit as we look at it from the perspective of our Lord. I believe He left us an example in everything. And I can't look at Jesus' life and not see that He spent hours. He had to have spent hours praying. So look at prayer as not a waste of time. Don't look at it as a waste of time. Don't look at it as a waste of time. Because it's the most powerful time you'll ever spend with your God. I believe hell quivers when God's people get on their knees and lift up their eyes to heaven and start seeking the will of God. Because I know that God knows and Satan knows that there's no way Satan can overcome God. If there is nothing impossible to God, then we need to be seeking Him every day. Amen? If you're not a Christian, you've never repented and turned your will around to God and seeking Him, if you've never been immersed into Christ for the remission of your sins, so you could receive the gift, the indwelling of God's Spirit, to become and begin His work in your individual life, and you'll have no idea what that's all about, then we certainly are here to help you to make those kind of decisions, because those are essential. They are a must for you to renew your relationship with God. But to continue that relationship, people, if you have done that, is it going to happen in your time that you spend with God in prayer? I believe that with all my heart. Okay? So let's stand together and let's just sing this great hymn that we all love and we know is true. It's what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's sing it together.